This is Osho Radio. Osho Radio brings you a discourse by Osho and beautiful music from the world of Osho. Today's discourse is about incomplete actions. I'll tell you some more about it later in the program. As a preparation for the discourse, we start with a dancing number by Karunesh called Alibaba. So whoever likes to get up and dance, this is your chance. After this, we will slow down and you can just sit down and relax and imbibe the words and silences of our Master Osho. The discourse of today is from a series called The Tantra Vision, Volume 1, Number 1. These series are based on the royal song of Sara. Sara was the son of a very learned Brahmin, a very intelligent person, and the king was fond of him. He was even willing to give his own daughter to Sara, but Sara refused because he wanted to become a sannyasin, and he became a disciple of a master in the line of the Buddha. And then, one day, he met a very ordinary and yet very special woman in the market.
Thank you. The woman was totally absorbed. That's why she was looking so luminous. She was looking so beautiful. She was an ordinary woman. But the beauty was not of this earth. The beauty came because of total absorption. The beauty came because she was not an extremist. The beauty came because she was in the middle, balanced. Out of balance is grace. For the first time, Sarha encountered a woman who was not just physically beautiful, who was spiritually beautiful. Naturally, he was surrendered. The surrender happened. He understood what meditation is for the first time. He has been meditating. He was struggling hard. But for the first time, meditation was there alive. He could feel it. He could have touched it. It was almost tangible. And then he remembered closing one eye, opening another is a symbol, a Buddhist symbol. Buddha says half the mind reasons and half the mind intuits. The right side mind is intuitive, poetic, inspiration, vision. A priori consciousness, a priori awareness. Not that you argue, you simply come to know. Not that you infer, you simply realize. That is the meaning of a priori awareness. It is simply there. The truth is known by the right side mind. Truth is inferred by the left side mind. Inference is just inference. It is not experience. Suddenly he realized that the woman had closed one eye. She had closed one eye as symbolic of closing the eye of reason, logic. And she had opened another eye, symbolic of love, intuition, awareness. And then he remembered the posture, aiming at the unknown, invisible. We are on the journey to know the unknown, to know that which cannot be known. That is real knowledge, to know that which cannot be known, to realize that which is unrealizable, to attain that which cannot be attained. This impossible passion is what makes a man a religious seeker. Yes, it is impossible. By impossible, I don't mean that it will not happen. By impossible, I mean that it cannot happen unless you are utterly transformed. As you are, it cannot happen. But there are different ways of being. And you can be totally a new man, then it happens. You come to me. You will not know it. I will have to kill you. I will have to be drastically dangerous to you. You will have to disappear. And the new man is born. A new consciousness comes in. Because there is something indestructible in you which cannot be destroyed. Nobody can destroy it. When you attain to that indestructible element in your being, to that eternal awareness in your being, you are a new man, a new consciousness. So he remembered the posture, aiming at the unknown, the invisible, the unknowable, the one. That is the aim. How to be one with existence? The non-dual is the aim. Where subject and object are lost, where I and thou are lost. Realizing this, seeing into this woman's actions, and recognizing the truth. The woman called him Sarha. It means he who has shot the arrow. Sar means arrow, Ha means have shot. Sarha means one who has shot the arrow. She danced and called him Sarha and said, "Now from today you will be called Sarha. You have shot the arrow." Understanding the significance of my actions, you have penetrated. Sarha said to her, "I am sorry to have even thought that you are an ordinary arrowsmith woman. You are a great master, and I am reborn through you. Till yesterday I was not a real Brahmin. From today I am. You are my master and you are my mother, and you have given me a new birth. I am no more the same. So right you are. You have dropped my old name and you have given me a new name." The legend has it that the woman was nobody but a hidden Buddha. The name of the Buddha given in the scriptures is Sukhanatha, who had come to help the great potential man Sarha. Buddha, a certain Buddha of the name Sukhanatha, has taken the form of a woman. But why? Why the form of a woman? Because Tantra believes that just as a man has to be born out of a woman, the new birth of a disciple is also going to be out of a woman. In fact, all the masters are more mothers than fathers. They have the quality of the feminine. Buddha is feminine. So is Mahavira. So is Krishna. You can see the feminine grace, the feminine roundness. You can see the feminine beauty. You can look into their eyes and you will not find the male aggressiveness. So it is very symbolic that a Buddha has taken the form of a woman. Buddhas always take the form of a woman. They may be living in the male body, but they are feminine. Because all that is born out of the feminine energy. Male energy can trigger it, but cannot give birth. The arrowsmith woman accepted. In fact, she was waiting. A master waits for the disciple. They moved to a cremation ground and started living together. Why to a cremation ground? Because Buddha says, unless you understand death, you will not be able to understand life. Unless you die, you will not be reborn. And he lived with this arrowsmith woman. They lived together. There was great love between them. Not the love of a woman and a man, but the love of a master and a disciple, which is certainly higher than any man-woman love can ever reach, which is more intimate, certainly more intimate, because a man-woman love affair is just of the bodies. At the most, sometimes it reaches to the mind, otherwise it remains in the body. A disciple and a master, it is a soul love affair. Sarha had found his soul match. They were in tremendous love, great love, which rarely happens on the earth. She taught him Tantra. Only a woman can teach Tantra. Sarha became a Tantrika under the guidance of this arrowsmith woman. Now he was no more meditating. One day he had left all the Vedas, scriptures, knowledge. Now he left even meditation. Now rumors started spreading all over the country that he no more meditates. He sings, of course, and dances too, but no more any meditation. Now singing was his meditation. Now dancing was his meditation. Now celebration was his whole lifestyle. Play entered into his being. A lover has always the spirit of the play. The moment the spirit of play dies, you become a husband or a wife. Then you are no more lovers. Then you reproduce. And the moment you become a husband and a wife, something beautiful has gone dead. It is no more alive. The juice flows no more. Now it is just pretense, hypocrisy. Play entered his being, and through play, true religion was born. His ecstasy was so infectious that people started coming to watch him dancing and singing. The cremation ground became a great celebration. But then the inevitable, the Brahmins and the priests and the scholars and the so-called righteous people started vilifying and slandering him. That I call the inevitable. Whenever there is a man like Sarha, the scholars are going to be against him, the priests are going to be against him. And the so-called moral people, Puritans, self-righteous people, they started saying to people, he has fallen from grace. He has given up celibacy. He is no more even a Buddhist monk. He indulges in sinful practices with a low-caste woman and runs around like a mad dog in all directions. But it depends how you look. The king also was told these things. He was anxious to know exactly what is happening. So he sent few people to persuade Sarha and tell him to come back to your old ways. You are a Brahmin. Your father was a great scholar. You yourself were a great scholar. What are you doing? The people went and Sarha sang 160 verses to those people who had come to convert him. Those 160 verses, and those people started dancing. And they never came back. The king was even more worried. The king's wife, the queen, was also always was interested in the young man. She wanted the young man to marry her daughters. So she went there. And Sarha sang 80 verses to the queen. And she never came back. Now the king was too much puzzled. What is happening there? So the king himself went there. And Sarha sang 40 verses. And the king was converted. And he started dancing in the cremation ground like a mad dog. Because the king was converted, the whole country by and by was converted. And it is said in the old scriptures that a time came when the whole country became empty. Empty, it is a Buddhist word. It means people became nobodies. They lost their ego trips. People started enjoying the moment. The hustle and bustle, the competitive violence disappeared from the country. It became a silent country. It became empty. As if nobody was there. The man as such disappeared from the country. A great divineness descended on the country. These 40 verses were at the root of it, the very source of it. I bow down to noble Manjushri. I bow down to him who has conquered the finite. This word Manjushri has to be understood. Manjushri was one of the disciples of Buddha. But he was a very rare disciple. Whenever somebody was too much of a difficult problem, somebody was a problematic person, Buddha will send him to Manjushri. Just the name of the Manjushri and people will start trembling. He was really a hard man. He was really drastic. Whenever somebody was sent to Manjushri, the disciples will say, that person has gone to Manjushri's sword. It has become famous down the ages, the sword of Manjushri. because Manjushri used to cut the head in one stroke. He was not a slow goer. He will simply cut the head in one stroke. His compassion was so great that he could be so cruel. So by and by the name of Manjushri became a representative name. Name for all masters, because they are all compassionate and they all have to be cruel. Compassionate because they will give birth to a new man in you. Cruel because they will have to destroy and demolish the old. So when Saraha bows down first, before starting his song, he says, I bow down to noble Manjushri, the master of all masters. I bow down to him who has conquered the finite. And then he bows down to Buddha, who has conquered the finite and who has become the infinite. As calm water lashed by wind turns into waves and rollers, so the king thinks of Saraha in many ways, although one man. Visualize a lake, a placid, silent lake with no waves. Then there comes a great wind and it starts playing on the surface of the lake, and the lake is disturbed, and 1001 ripples and waves arise. Just a moment before, the reflection of the full moon was there in the lake. Now it is no more there. Now the moon is still reflected, but in 1001 fragments. It is all over the lake. The whole lake is silvery because of the reflection, but you cannot catch hold of the real reflection, where the moon is, how it looks. It is all distorted. Saraha says this is the situation of the worldly mind, of the deluded. This is the only difference between a Buddha and a non-Buddha. A Buddha is one whose wind is no more blowing. That wind is called Trishna, desire. Have you watched, observed? Whenever there is desire, there are 1001 ripples in your heart. Your consciousness is disturbed and distracted. Whenever desire stops, you are at ease, at peace with yourself. So desire is the wind that distorts the mind. And when the mind is distorted, you cannot reflect the reality. As calm water laced by wind turns into waves and rollers, so the king thinks of Saraha in many ways, although one man. Saraha says two things. First, he says, your mind is too much disturbed by the rumors. So much wind has blown over your surface of the mind. You will not be able to see me, though I am one. But your mind is reflecting me in 1000 fragments. To a fool who squints, one lamp is as two. Where seen and seer are not two. Ah, the mind works on the thingness of them both. And then he takes similes, metaphors. First he says, like a lake, you are in turmoil. Then he says, to a fool who squints, one lamp is as two. He cannot see one. He says two. I have heard Mullah Nasruddin was teaching his son the ways of being a drunkard. After a few drinks, Mullah said, now, let us go. Always remember, this is the rule to stop. When you start seeing that one person is looking like two, then go home. It is enough. One person looking like two. But the son says, where? Where is that one person? He said, look there. On that table two persons are sitting. And the son said, there is nobody. He has already drunk too much. Remember, when you are unconscious, things don't look as they are. When you are unconscious, you project. You can press your eye tonight looking at the moon with your finger and you can see two moons. And when you are seeing two moons, it is very difficult to believe that there is one. You are seeing two. Just think somebody is born by a natural defect, that his eye has that pressure which makes one thing appear like two. He will always see two things. Wherever you see one, he will see two. Our inner vision is clouded with many things. So we go on seeing things which are not. And when we see, how can we believe that they are not? We have to trust our own eyes. And our own eyes may be distorting. To a fool who squints, one lamp is as two, where seen and seer are not two. Sarha says to the king, if you are thinking I am and you are two, then you are unconscious. Then you are a fool. Then you are drunk. Then you don't know how to see. If you see really, then I am and you are one. Then the seer and the seen are not two. Then you will not see Sarha dancing here. You will see yourself dancing here. Then when I will go in ecstasy, you will go in ecstasy. And that will be the only way to know what has happened to Sarha. There is no other way. What has happened to me? If you want to know, the only way is to become a participant in my being. Don't be a watcher. Don't stand aside and just become a spectator. You will have to participate in my experience. You will have to lose yourself a little bit into me. You will have to overlap my boundaries. That's what sannyas is all about. Listen to this beautiful saying of Sarha. Though the house lamps have been lit, the blind live on in the dark. Though spontaneity is all encompassing and close, to the deluded it remains always far away. He says, look, I have become enlightened. Though the house lamps have been lit, my innermost core is no more dark. See, there is great light in me. My soul is awakened. My arrow has reached the target. Though the house lamps have been lit, the blind live on in the dark. But what can I do, Sarha says? If somebody is blind, even when the house lamps are lit, he goes on living in darkness. Not that the lamps are missing, but that his eyes are closed. So don't listen to blind people, just open your eyes and look at me. See me, who is standing in front of you, whom you are confronting. The blind live on in the dark, though the house lamps have been lit, though spontaneity is all encompassing and close, and I am so close to you. The spontaneity is so close to you, you can already touch it and eat it and drink it. You can dance with me and you can move into ecstasy with me. I am so close. You may not find spontaneity so close again. Though spontaneity is all encompassing and close, to the deluded it remains always far away. Though there may be many rivers, they are one in the sea. Though there may be many lies, one truth will conquer all. When one sun appears, the dark, however deep, will vanish. And Sarha says, just look at me. The sun has risen. So I know. Howsoever deep your dark, it is going to vanish. Look at me. The truth is born in me. So you may have thousands of lies about me, but one truth will conquer them all. Though there may be many rivers, they are one in the sea. Just come close to me. Let your river drop into my ocean. And you will have my taste. Though there may be many lies, one truth will conquer all. Truth is one. Only lies are many. Only lies can be many. Truth cannot be many. Health is one. Diseases are many. And one health conquers all diseases. And one truth conquers all lies. When one sun appears, the dark, however deep, will vanish. In these four verses, Sarha has invited the king to enter into his inner being. He has opened his heart. And he says, I am not here to convince you logically. I am here to convince you existentially. I will not give any proof. And I will not say anything in defense of me. Just this open. The heart is open. You come in. You go in. You see what has happened. So close is spontaneity. So close is God. So close is truth. The sun has risen. Open your eyes. Remember, a mystic has no proof. He cannot have the proof by the very nature of things. He is the only proof. So he can bear his heart to you. These verses, these songs of Sarha has to be meditated deeply. Each song can become an opening of a flower in your heart. I hope these 40 verses will become 40 flowers in your being, as they became in the being of the king. The king was liberated, so you can be. Sarha has penetrated the target. You can also penetrate the target. You can also become a Sarha, one whose arrow is shot. Enough for today.
The music today was by Parijat, Karunesh, Infinite Fiction, Shastro, and we're going to finish the program with a song from a Dutch sannyasin called Ramses Shaffy. He was a very famous singer in Holland, and the song is in Dutch. The song is called Let Me Be the Way I Am. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight, everybody. Take good care of yourselves and stay tuned to Osho Radio. Until the next week. Bye-bye and namaste.
Ik ben misschien te laat geboren, of in een land met ander licht. Ik voel me altijd wat verloren, al toont de spiegel mijn gezicht. Ik ken de kroegen, kathedralen, van Amsterdam tot aan Maastricht. Toch zal ik elke dag verdwalen, dat houdt de zaak in evenwicht. Laat me, laat me mijn eigen gang gaan. Laat me, ik heb het altijd zo gedaan. Ik zal mijn vrienden niet vergeten, want wie me lief is, blijft me lief. En waar ze wonen, moest ik weten, maar ik verloor hun laatste brief. Ik zal ze heus nog wel ontmoeten, misschien vandaag, misschien over een jaar. Ik zal ze kussen en begroeten, komt vanzelf weer voor elkaar. Laat me, laat me, laat me mijn eigen handen gaan. Laat me, ik heb het altijd zo gedaan. Ik ben gelukkig niet verankerd, soms woon ik hier, soms leef ik daar. Ik heb mijn leven niet verkankerd, ik heb geen bezit en geen bezwaar. Ik hou van water en van aarde, ik hou van schamel en van duur. Er is geen stuiver die ik spaarde, ik leef gewoon van uur tot uur. Laat me, laat me, ik heb het altijd zo gedaan. Ik zal ook wel eens een keertje sterven, daar kom ik echt niet onderuit. Ik laat mijn liedjes dan maar zwerven en verder zoek je er maar uit. Voorlopig blijf ik nog jou zingen, jouw zwarte schaap, jouw trouwe fijn. Ik blijf al lang en liefst nog langer, en laat me blijven wie ik ben. Laat me, laat me, laat me mijn eigen hart. Laat me, laat me, ik heb het altijd zo gedaan. Laat me, laat me, laat me mijn eigen gang. Laat me, ik heb het altijd zo gedaan. Laat me, laat me.
Ik heb het altijd zo gedaan.